Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning. I will admit that I didn't realize I was doing announcements until just a couple of minutes ago, so I'm trying to go through the calendar in my head, so I hope that I don't leave anything out. We have an awful lot going on. I would like to remind you that a women's Bible study starts tomorrow night, and it will meet in the Stephen Ministry Room, and it is at 6:30, in the Trinity Classroom. At 6:30, Kit Atkins will be leading that. There will also be another Bible study that will begin June the 14th, an invitation to John, and that will be in the Stephen Ministry Room. You can call the church office to sign up for that. Tomorrow is the deadline for Bible school, so if you have children or know of children who might like to attend our Bible school, please get those registration forms in to the office tomorrow, or at least call and let us know that you're going to be here so that we can count the literature and make sure that we have enough for everybody. It causes a problem if we get here on that Monday morning of Bible school and they get to art and all of a sudden we're too short. So it really helps to have everything, all the children registered. There is also an up-to-date medical form that needs to be filled out. Those forms can be found in the Information Center right outside the Fellowship Hall. We will be having a summer kickoff that we hope that all of you will attend. It will be out at Drew and Andy Robinson's farm out near Bradley. The directions to their house are in the Information Center. If you would like to come, if you would just put your name and put Wednesday night, June the 10th, maybe on the back of a blank envelope that can be found in the pew racks and drop it in the offering plate, we will count you in on supper. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have some games. There's going to be a hayride, a bonfire. We'll be having hot dogs, so it will be a big summer cook-off, kickoff, and we're excited about that. Bible school will begin on June the 15th, and we have lots and lots of plans, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Common Thread had the first retreat yesterday, and we had a wonderful time. We had 12 people come, and we enjoyed devotion, Bible verses, and prayer, and lots of knitting and crocheting, and lessons were given, and it was a lot of fun. The radio broadcast begins today. It will be broadcast at 12 o'clock. It will be a delayed broadcast, so we are very glad that we are now back on the air.
please stand for the call to worship. Let us worship the one true God, the source of love and life, who creates us. Let us worship the Spirit, the holy fire, who renews us.
Seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation. O God, you are beyond our wildest imagining. When we speak of you, there are no words to describe your majesty and power. We know you best in Jesus of Nazareth, who shared your love with all he met. He called for our rebirth as your children, cleansed by water and the Spirit. We come together seeking renewal of the vows made at our baptism. We want to be faithful as Christ was faithful. We want to be fruitful in the work you give us to do. Bless our worship that we may be a blessing to others. Amen. we come to our time of prayer, I do want to greet the visitors we have with us today, and I want to greet the visitors that we will have with us today on our new radio station, Sunny 103.5. It reaches 12 counties and into Georgia, and we do expect to have a new set of listeners, a radio congregation, and invite them all to come join us whenever they can here in Greenwood. As we approach our list of concerns, add to your personal prayer list Karen Dent, who fell and broke her shoulder this past Friday, Tina McDaniel, who is home recovering from surgery, and Farquhar's mother, Mildred Moore, who is now in hospice, and also the family of Sarah Hartung upon the death of her grandfather, Buddy Biggs, in Newberry. We also have a concern for a friend and coworker who has been diagnosed with cancer, and for Nancy Morgan, who visited with us for some time, who is recovering as well. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, life is such a mystery. How do particles of dust and elements of the earth become alive? And with what power or force does life happen? And Lord, your word complicates matters even more. It speaks of new life or regeneration or a new spirit within. And yet, there are times when we do understand, when we feel more alive, and there are times when we feel dead inside. Father, give us that new life. Give us that new spirit within. Empower us to see ourselves and others through your eyes of grace. And Lord, as we lift up our concerns, we do pray for those we have mentioned. We do pray for the leaders of the nations of the world, that they be open to the influence of your Spirit. We pray for those who mourn and for those who are confused and concerned about financial problems and job and career situations. Lord, we do pray for those who grieve and for those who are awaiting the result of medical test anxiously and for those who sit by the bed of loved ones who will not recover in this life. We lift now the private prayers of our hearts before you in a moment of silence. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. Thank you. I thought maybe something was wrong with your vocal cords. Okay, I want to introduce to you, I want you to take a good look. I want you to meet my twin. We're exactly alike. Can't you tell? Now, some of you are looking at me like you don't believe that. You don't believe that? Well, what's different about us? We're a boy and a girl. Did you know that? Oh, well, that's amazing. What else is different? Our thumbprints, you think? Probably. You probably cook so much you don't have any and you could be a criminal. Okay. What else? What else is different? Our hair, what's different about it? His is a little light, too. No, but it is. Ours is different. Ours would be, too. Yeah, it would be. But what else is different? We got the same shoes. No. No? You don't think so? Well, no, mine's brown. I guess they are a little bit different. Girl church shoes and boy church shoes. That's good. But how? And I have earrings and he doesn't. And we're so glad. And what else? What else is different? Glasses. Well, see, I have mine up there. I have to have them, but I'm too vain to wear them, so I'm down here. But how are we alike? Oh, come on now. You've got to see that we're alike somehow. How are we alike? You're too analytical. Let's get a little bit more basic. Yes, we do both have brains. We both have those things, yes. But what is just real obvious is the same. We're both Christians, okay? And something even more obvious. Yes, we're both wearing watches. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. This is like Sesame Street up here. What else is alike? We're dressed alike. Over the top, right? Because we're both part of a team. We sing in the choir, so we're both part of the team, right? Okay, now I want you to stand up. I want you to look around. I want you to find somebody who is exactly like you. What? You don't see anybody exactly like you? Oh, come on now. You both have skin. Okay, well, all right. Everybody has skin. Oh, have earrings alike, they're twins. That's what my son used to say when he was little. If we had anything on that was anything alike, we were twins immediately. Okay? And people aren't the same height, are they? Look, you step down a second. Let's see something. Oh, by like that much. Yeah, but you are. You are taller. So we have people who are different heights, different colors of hair, different colors of eyes. And you're 5, and I'm a whole lot older. But the thing is, you know, we're all different in some way, right? Mr. Dennis is a chef. He can cook, like, great foods and stuff. I can't. So we're different like that. But isn't it nice that we have all these different people? We have different talents. If we were all exactly the same, boy, would it be boring. You know, it would be fun to be like living in a world of robots, wouldn't it? Because everybody would be exactly the same. And if they were all like me, you would never get anything good to eat. So it's wonderful that we're different.
And it wouldn't be fun because
You could do nothing. That's right. You couldn't find your friends, okay? But the thing is, we're all different. And because we're all different, why do you think God made us all different? He could have just gone cookie cutter and we'd all look the same. Why are we all different? You don't know why? Why? Yeah, that's true. What else? So they could recognize their friends. What else? Maybe so that lots of different kinds of work could get done, right? Because can't some of your friends do things you can't do, and you can do things your friends can't do? And, you know, in the church, there are people out here that can do just phenomenal things. There are artists. There are singers. There are people who can build things with their hands. There are people who are just so loving and giving, and they nurture and take care of us. Everybody has something special, and everybody is needed in the family of God as a church. We're going to sing a song. You want to help me sing a song? We're going to sing a song that you probably learned when you were real, real, real little. You know Jesus loves the little children? Okay, I'll sit down with you. Let's sing it. You think that those people out there know it? You think they might remember it? We'll ask them to sing with us too, okay? You ready?
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
So as you go about your daily life, you think about the fact that everybody is different that you come in contact with, but everybody is very, very, very important, and God loves every single one of us just as much as He does the other. None of us are more or better or more talented or anything in God's sight. He loves us all the same. Thank you. You can go to...
Gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, the first 17 verses. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I really shouldn't say this, but I overheard something during the children's sermon from the choir. Myra said, "What is the difference between me and Dennis?" And someone mumbled, "Dennis stopped dyeing his hair." Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but I probably shouldn't have said that. But today's sermon is going to be around grace, and I ask for it for myself as well. There's a story about a man who was trying to work his way into heaven, And when he died, as it always goes in these stories, he met St. Peter at the gate. And Peter said, "Okay, that'll be 1,000 points to get into heaven." And he said, "1,000 points? Okay, I tithed all my life." Peter said, "Good, 25 points. He said, "Is that all?" "And I taught Sunday school all my life." And Peter said, "25 more points." And the man said, "Oh my goodness." And then he said, "Well, wait a minute. I worked 10 different Salkahatchee home repair camps. How about that?" And he said, "Okay, 25 more points." He said, "Wow." He said, "All right, well, I did freely witness to all my friends about my faith." And Peter said, "That brings you up to 100 points. He said, "Only 100 points? I need 900 more points. The only way I'm going to get into here is by the grace of God." Peter said, "That's 1,000 points. Come right on in." None of us really step over the line into complete faith unless and until we see our need for God's grace. It's not about proper ritual or the proper amount of water or precisely proper words. It is the grace of God. You need it. I need it. God has offered it in Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking this way because recently, just a few weeks ago, a member of Main Street told me about an unpleasant situation she had. She was accosted, I can't think of a better word for it, in a hospital, not here but out of town, by a group of women who asked accusingly, "Have you been born again?" And she said, "Well, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have been baptized." And I said, "Well, now wait a minute, how were you baptized?"
And they explained to her that she had not been baptized with enough water. And if she couldn't name the time and the place that she became a Christian, then they were absolutely certain that she was not a Christian. I want you to look again, and you can pull out the pew Bibles if you'd like, at John 3. Let's look together at what Jesus said and who he said it to. Who was Jesus talking to when he said what is commonly translated as "you must be born again"? But in this new RSV said "you must be born from above," which is actually the preferred translation. Well, he was talking to Nicodemus. Now, did he say that to the disciples? I don't think so. I think he just told them, "Follow me," and they did. Did he say "you must be born again" to the woman in the later in the Gospel of John who was caught in the very act of adultery? No, as I remember, he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Did he say "you must be born again" to the rich young ruler? No, I think he said to him, "Go and sell what you have and give the money to the poor, and then come follow me." The night Jesus said what he said, he was talking to a particular man, and he said a peculiar thing. Now, it applies to us, but not in such a black and white, cut and dry way as we sometimes hear. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And did you know that the name Nicodemus means superior? You see, he was on the Supreme Court of the Jewish people. And he heard Jesus wrong because he could not fathom anyone suggesting that he, of all people, should change. Does that speak to any of us? Nicodemus was a superior. He was a leader. He was a PhD type, a lawyer, and he had power, and he had what seems to always come with power, money. Nicodemus came with his learning, his intellect, his status, and his power intact. And to this man, Jesus said, "Nicodemus, someone like you is going to have to start all over from the top down in order to understand what I'm talking about." Nicodemus was above respectable, he thought. And here Jesus was telling him he needed a penthouse to basement redo. Start completely over and unlearn what he thought was important before he could even begin to understand the kingdom of God Jesus was preaching. Jesus was using a word that meant from the top down, from above, which had a little used alternative uncommon meaning of again. If you hit the commentaries, you will see that this is true. And I think that the tragic comedy of the encounter is that Nicodemus thought that he was already at the top, that he had already arrived, head and shoulders, millions in the bank, above everyone around him. The very fact that Nicodemus came at night so as not to risk his status, his power, and wealth speaks to how much he must have had to risk. He could not hear starting over. His brain would not allow him to hear starting over from above. He thought he was already above. He thought he was already spiritually elite. And so he went to the alternative meaning in his mind of born again, even though it was a biological impossibility. And in asking what he asked, he shows his misunderstanding to all ages. He said, "Can a man crawl inside his mother's womb and be born again?" Of course not. And that is not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, "Nicodemus, you need to be spiritually reborn from above by the grace and the power of God's Holy Spirit. You are earthly minded. You are earthly empowered. You are earthly satisfied and smug. You need to start over from the top down, a top-down spiritual rebirth." And you know, we don't know how long it took, or if Nicodemus changed in any way that night. We know he left frustrated and confused. Nicodemus may have wandered off saying, "Born again? Born again? How can a grown man be born again? What utter nonsense." And he couldn't have meant a spiritual rebirth. After all, "I am a spiritual leader. I have taken a public oath as a member of the Sanhedrin to obey every one of God's laws. How in the world could anyone be more spiritual than I am?" No, that can't be what Jesus meant. But the other meaning is absurd. What was he talking about? And many of us may wonder the same. What is Jesus talking about? What are other people talking about when they ask us that question? Well, I'm not always sure what other people mean, but I do know what Jesus actually said. It was not simply born again. Jesus did not use that word. The word Jesus used was anathen in Greek, and it's only used 14 times in the Bible. It means from the top to the bottom, from the top down, or primarily from above. Not a feeling, not an action, not a physical thing, but something spiritual which comes from God. It is certainly not what Nicodemus misheard about his mother's womb. At some point later on, Nicodemus, his superior attitude and his head knowledge melted away, or rather his heart melted, as he considered how wrong-headed he had been. You see, he approached Jesus as a pupil in need of another teacher. And the way to approach Jesus is as a sinner in need of a Savior. Nicodemus, whose name means superior, at first thought he was okay and other people were sinners. But at some point, his pretense melted away and he came to see himself as one more sinner in need of a Savior. How long did this take? We don't know. How is your heart this morning? How is your soul? Where are you on this road? God knows and you know. I'm not sure any committee who accosts you at the hospital could possibly know. Maybe you do need a top-down, born-from-above experience, or maybe you melted to God's influence and Spirit a long time ago. Not everyone needed to be struck blind as the Apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road. Most of the disciples just followed, and they grew in their understanding and faith as they followed. Then finally, as we celebrated last week, they were filled with God's Holy Spirit as we celebrate at Pentecost. This I know. God is after us, and the work of salvation is not ours. It is God's work through His Holy Spirit. Open yourself to whatever God has in store for you. Don't let anything stand in the way of the God who created and is still creating. I don't know what kind of conversion Nicodemus had, but I know that he went from arrogant and superior to humble, and finally was there helping. We find him later in the Gospel of John, helping prepare Jesus' body for burial. I'd say he had a spiritual awakening, and I would say also that it cost him his status and power and money and fame, but he gained everything. When his heart melted, or as John Wesley put it, it was strangely warmed, he apparently became a disciple, and it took him further to fall from superior down to the feet of Jesus. But there he is in John 19 with 100 pounds of spices to bury his master. Maybe he thought about it. Maybe he pondered it. But he finally got it. Jesus was not merely saying born again. He was specifically saying born from above, a top-down spiritual rebirth. And who can give such a birth except God alone? You know, I've thought about this before. If I had a time machine, or if any of us had a time machine, maybe you thought, if I could go back to birth or some other age early on and start my life over, just be reborn and start over knowing what I know, I could do a better job. I really doubt that. I think that I would make the same mistakes or the same bad choices or at least equally bad choices all over again. To make my life new, it would take more than a second physical birth. It would take what Jesus was talking about, a top-down spiritual renewal, a regeneration, a new person inside and out. And I guess that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Paul even said about himself, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so I experience my faith this way. I am being born again. I am being made new. I am becoming a new creation. And it is slow going. And not a bit of it has been my work, but God is changing me by the power and the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. And I want to borrow something I heard from another preacher down in the Low Country years ago. I thought this was wonderful, talking about faith and how God works with us and on us and through us over a lifetime. He said, "Thank God I'm not what I once was. And I confess, God, I am not what I should be. But by the grace of God, I'm not yet what I'm gonna be." God's grace will lead us home. God's grace will lead us home. Amen. I invite you to turn to page 12 for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now let us pass the peace. I'll ask those who help serve me come forward after the peace. Those who will help me serve, please come forward. I will ask the congregation to please turn to page 17 for the musical setting of communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Faith, we gather round the table to taste and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God can make all things new. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Life and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit now as then, can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. The Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn. Receive this blessing, this benediction. May you be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior, and the power and the presence and the comfort of God the Holy Spirit with us even now. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.